It's the 8-year anniversary of Grindr. Baby, you've been looking for love for a long time. And the company behind the ubiquitous app is now launching a new magazine, Into, a modern kind of LGBT media for the app generation.
Today, Into Magazine's new editor-in-chief, Zach Stafford, who in the past has been one of the most vocal critics of the app, joins us to talk about the company's new launch into LGBT media. Will gay men enjoy consuming news and culture while they're looking for love in the digital age?
Plus, our review of the new Baywatch film. How does Zac Efron stack up with the 90s TV hunks?
A man in Florida has been found not guilty of killing his girlfriend with his big schlong.
And a black man in South Africa gets a penis transplant from a white guy. Become an organ donor and your dick will have a second life. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. Get this sexy t-shirt and all our fabulous designs at feastoffun.com/store.
Grindr, the company behind the ubiquitous app where you get into arguments about how big your dick really is, is now, it's 7.5 inches, by the way, is now launching a new magazine into a new kind of LGBT media for the app generation. Joining us today is Into Magazine's new editor-in-chief, Zach Stafford, the J. Jonah Jameson of dicks.
Oh my god. I hope that's not on my business card.
Who has been one of the most vocal critics of the shortcomings of the dating app. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thank you for having me again.
I could just imagine you sort of being like, Parker, bring me the real size of that guy's cock. I need bottoms, tops, tops who are bottoms who are looking for it to be tops. You know the drill, but not literally. Don't get me a drill.
Bring me a latte photo.
Make it frothy.
Oh my god. We're gonna make my mother so proud. Making her think that's what my job is like.
Oh, because your mom wants you to sort of be a commander-in-chief, not commander, an editor-in-chief.
I don't know what she wants it to be. I think she's happy about this. I think it makes things more awkward for her to talk to her friends about, because when I was at The Guardian, mm-hmm. that's like something like left liberal mothers in the South can be like, oh, my son works for The Guardian. Then Out Magazine was challenging, because it's like, oh, he works for the largest LGBT magazine in the world. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, oh, he works for that hookup app.
So is this a step down for you now?
I mean, I don't think so. I think it's a step up. I mean, I'm going in terms of title. I was editor at large of Out Magazine, and I was probably the youngest person in that title ever. Mm-hmm. Just like I was the youngest columnist at The Guardian, and now I'll be the youngest editor in chief of an LGBT magazine.
Let's talk about the articles that you wrote. Mm-hmm. At The Guardian and Out Magazine, yeah. About Grindr.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So since the app began, I've been probably one of the most prolific writers. And I only say that because the numbers. Like, you Google mm-hmm. Zach Stafford Grindr, I've written so much about Grindr. And then I also worked on a book by Jamie Wu called Meet Grindr, which won the Lammy for Best New Nonfiction.
What's a Lammy for people?
Lambie Literary Award. Okay. So it was like the top award for LGBT books.
It's like a Pulitzer Prize for LGBT writers.
Yeah, that's a really great. Yeah, so yeah. It's like that. And then in my academic career, I studied Grindr as a geographer. So I have like this really long
studied Grindr.
My mom would always be like, are you looking for a date? I don't think she believed it. She saw my thesis, which was like 60 pages on called Gay Online and mm-hmm. kind of the geography of sex and places. But my career's very first article I ever wrote was called The Five Types of Guys You Meet on Grindr that was published. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about Grindr a lot. And I think there has been critique, but I see Grindr as a tool or a way in which we as gay men have been inhabiting spaces. So I've been kind of through Grindr, been thinking about our community a lot. So I think that's probably why I was approached by this. I had just been I gave a talk at Grindr for their 8th anniversary. I was like the keynote with the mayor of West Hollywood. And I talked about how Grindr has made us rethink about not only our own bodies, but other people's bodies and how we take up spaces in cities. So for me, when I was in Nashville, I remember the first time I had Grindr, 2008, and went to Nashville. And my town, I didn't think there were any gay people there. And I got on and saw all these gays. And I was like, oh, wow, this whole time I wasn't alone. So I've been interested.
So like people from your high school?
High school, older people. Okay. Like, you know, people mm-hmm. I don't have access to. So like,
they're like, well, like, look Zach at you, Stafford is gay.
And you would have been in 2008. How old would you have been?
I was 18.
So you would have been a young person.
Yeah. Yes, I was young. So,
so it was a way for you to come out.
Yeah, definitely. It was a way for me to, I think, to come out and then also to think about the world as much bigger than I ever imagined it. Because I didn't, coming to Chicago was overwhelming because I walked through Boys Town and I was like, oh my God, there's so many men. Like, mm-hmm. And you all are like holding hands mm-hmm. and you're here.
And you're like, how many days would it take to get all of them?
How many dicks am
I this so could I be years. Like, I think, yes!
So I think I was like initially infatuated with Grindr because I came from a place where I felt so alone mm-hmm. and all of a sudden this app was like, look at all these girls around you. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why I became so critical then of it, because the fantasy wore off quite quickly. And I realized that people are still people no matter mm-hmm. if they're online or offline, and they come with their own complications and complexities and all that stuff.
Yeah, because I see like there's a guy who has a profile on Grindr. He's like, I'm just looking for friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and he's a really attractive guy. Sure. And I think a lot of guys actually say that on their profiles, so they're not pushed mm-hmm. or pressured into having mm-hmm. sex with somebody.
Right. Well, it's especially, it's like, I'm just looking for friends on their profile, and then the first picture they send you is of their asshole.
Yeah.
And you're like, hi, friend.
Ooh, hi, girl. That's how we say hello. Yeah.
I mean, that's my dog is that way.
Oh, yeah. Jesse is like that. Jesse to me.
He'll sniff your butt first before shaking your
so
hand.
So gay men are dogs, literally. They want to see your asshole before they say hello.
Or dogs are gay men.
Well, they do that just for, I just want to be friends. I think it's because they don't want to come off as like a whore. But mm-hmm. to their friends, because their friends are looking,
oh,
or
yeah.
their boyfriend is looking,
oh,
or
yeah.
something. So they're just, they want to stay off that radar. But secretly, we all know what people do. What
but the reason Jesse's is sniffing mm-hmm. your crotch and your butt is because he wants to know where you've been, mm-hmm. and he wants to know if you're an threat or an enemy.
Mm.
So he wants to know.
So is that what you do on Grindr? You show me your whole pic so I can see if you're a threat or
yeah,
an enemy. Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry.
So in the past, you were one of the most vocal critics mm-hmm. Talking about racism mm-hmm. on the platform, how a lot of people went out of their way to say, as Kim Chi famously stated on RuPaul's Drag Race, no fats, no mm-hmm. femmes, no Asians.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a huge critic of that. I think digitally we've seen people not only come to find themselves, but show who they really are in ways that are good and bad. And one of those is the racism within gay communities. So race became, and not only on Grindr, but Craigslist, Tinder even, we see straight people kind of mimicking this. That became a place in which when we think about our sexual desire, we thought it was okay to say racist things. Mm-hmm. And why racist?
Because there's privacy in some
regard. Yeah, because you find privacy. And you think, and we think mm-hmm. that when we're being our most vulnerable, mm-hmm. which is through sex, a lot of us, that's the most vulnerable we'll be, then we can really show who we are and we don't ever become critical of that. And that's why I think racism flourishes mm-hmm. in sex, because we're like, oh, I'm showing you, I'm being as vulnerable or as open as possible. And oh yeah, I just so happen not to like black men, but you should be okay with that because I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's just a preference.
It's just
I'm not racist or anything, but it's just a preference.
Yes. And that's something mm-hmm. I've been, I mean, even it's been funny talking at going to Grindr, giving these talks. It's funny that people there will be like, oh, I saw you on the Daily Show talking about this. So when I was out for the job, I was like, oh my God, this is great. Like all of my mm-hmm. salesmen out of the closet. Like I've been on national television talking about Grindr as a way in which racism has really infiltrated or become apparent in our community. But as I've studied and written about it, I've also recognized that it's not like Grindr's fault specifically. Mm-hmm. It's how we all approach sex and how we take our lives, our physical lives, and bring them to a digital mm-hmm. space. So for me as an editor mm-hmm. and as a writer, I'm very interested in how a magazine can kind of be built out of that venue.
I've also noticed, this, maybe this is anecdotal, that I'm seeing less and less of those types of mm-hmm. profiles, less things that like, you know, like no blacks, no Asians on there. I mean, of course, you run across it every now and then.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it must be much less. I think it's because people, we have had a dialogue and people, and the point of that dialogue is to get people to question their motivations.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are questioning their motivations when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, and your show is like one of the, I mean, just because those things are happening doesn't mean mm-hmm. we're going to change them or think of them as mm-hmm. bad, but it takes conversations like we've had on this show mm-hmm. where people are listening who use the app and thinking like, oh, I do see that all the day. Well, maybe I should think about that differently. Or maybe what happens if I take that out of my app? If I don't mm-hmm. say no blacks and then just tell people who I'm not attracted to, like, yo, I'm not into you, like how radical that could mm-hmm. be. So it's taken some years to make that cultural change.
I remember getting into an argument with some of the listeners of the show.
Curtis. Oh, lots of them.
Curtis. Who's like, what? I don't want to have sex with somebody of color. You know, it's like, what's wrong with just telling saving them the trouble. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you have to question your motivation. Why are you saying that? You're saying no to a whole population of people. Yeah. Why is that? You know, yeah. Why are you not into them? You just don't find them attractive? Well, you're socially conditioned to not find them attractive. Exactly. And that you really need to question that. And also, too, how does that also translate beyond your sex life into your employment life, into your friendship life?
Exactly.
All those kinds of things. So you're like, I don't want to have blacks as friends. I don't want to have blacks as coworkers. I don't want to have sex with them. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? Yeah. Is it just a preference or you're socially conditioned? Yeah. And we're all, everybody's socially conditioned mm-hmm. in some way to another. And so when you have something like that and you're making that kind of decision in your life, what other decisions mm-hmm. are you making in your life?
Damn.
Can I just put no ugly people on
there? Isn't there one called VGL only? Very VGL. Good looking. Yes. Very good looking only.
Yes.
But looks are relative. And one person's
totally
beef,
subjective.
Mm-hmm. One person's mm-hmm. broth is another mm-hmm. man's you know? Poison.
Exactly. It's all subjective. Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's where this becomes very apparent that racial preferences are very much about racism because not all black people look the same. Like, I do not look like my father. I don't look like my cousins. But and just like not every Asian person looks like every other Asian person. So it's like, why are you reducing entire groups of people to one identity that you're holding dear to your heart? And like also a question, why is that one version of a person something you find so abhorrent?
So what kind of content? I'm really excited about the idea of Into because I like a lot of the community aspects that these dating or hookup apps or you know, social apps bring. And I'm really excited about the idea of Grindr spending a lot of money to beef that up.
Yeah, that's what got me excited. Because at first when I heard about it, I was like, what? Grindr's going to do a magazine? What does that mean? What could that look like? And then when I was asked, I found out about the magazine before I ever even dreamed of being the editor-in-chief. I found out while I was visiting Grindr to give this talk. And they showed me clips and I was like, this could be really interesting. And I went back to Out and I told the other editors, you know, Grindr's about to launch this thing. And we talked about it briefly and we thought, oh, this could actually could take us. This might maybe take us out and out, but it may change how we all think about content and how we access our news. And what would it be like if you have 3 million people on an app? I mean, the data shows that they're on there 50 to 60 minutes a day. What happens if they're getting their news? Mm-hmm. And how does it affect the other outlets of, you know, if I can get dick or a date or coffee or a tennis and find out what Donald Trump just said all in one place? Because people as users, they love browsing, but they like browsing one place. Like you mm-hmm. like your mobile app to be one area.
That's a very Chinese. What is it? Is it China that has that Weibo app? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
That is like the mother of all apps.
It aggregates like everything into one. Yeah.
And it's like a threat to Apple. Mm-hmm. It's a threat to Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. And it's like they do their banking. Mm-hmm. They order pizza on it. They date on each other.
Yeah. The more you can make your phone just an extension of yourself and it can do everything for you, I think the happier people are. So for me, if I know people are on Grindr more than they are on Facebook, and we're having problems with what is fake news on Facebook, mm-hmm. what should you click? If I can curate globally news that's been fact-checked, that's been validated, that's been really sussed out, and it's complex, just like the lives of people on Grindr, I think when you hear pushback against Grindr as a hookup app from different people, whether it's people that work with Grindr or users of Grindr, is that it? When you say that, it reduces us down to just that we're on there to have sex. And we've all used Grindr for many things more than sex. Sure, people have hooked up on there, but I've met tennis players on there that I've played tennis with. I've met my boyfriend or ex-boyfriend now on there. And all these things. So we as gay men are much more dynamic than the sex we have. And so that issue has been historic. It's always been that way. That's why mm-hmm. we've been criminalized. So I think if I'm able to use the app to think about content and kind of expand how we think about gay men or queer people, that'll be great. That'll be awesome if it works out.
But will the articles be like, you know, how to suss out a guy's dick size? Is he a top or a bottom? Is it going to be like Cosmopolitan for horny gay guys?
Yeah, I mean, I hope to lean into that. Mm, I think something with the brand is it would be odd if we just launched a magazine and ignored that our big brother was Grindr. Mm. If we were like, you know, no one uses this to meet other people and people don't have sex in there. But I think there's a way to kind of mature that conversation. I think if we're having a conversation about how to negotiate your sexual preferences with someone, like mm-hmm. I'm going to be bottom or top, that can be written in a way that is punchy and catchy, but also doesn't sound patronizing. I think these articles sometimes you see online that are like, how to tell if he's a bottom, just is like, oh, that sounds
it can be messy and stupid. Like, and part of it is like, I'm really glad that they actually pick somebody like you, because instantly it shuts down all mm-hmm. their, all those arguments that they're like superficial mm-hmm. or unintelligent about this.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely, I'm mm-hmm. very much aware of my own profile as a person coming into it, that I grew up, my career grew up in traditional media outlets. I didn't join mm-hmm. a LGBT outlet mm-hmm. till a year ago. I've worked at like the largest newspapers in the world mm-hmm. with straight people, trying to explain to them why these apps matter, how they're being used. Mm-hmm. I've used them in murder investigations. I've used them like crazy, crazy ways in HIV stories. So if I was able to show kind of mainstream media how these apps can be used to tell stories, I'm now really excited to do that for people who actually understand mm-hmm. it, because I don't have to do all the explaining. When I do a Grindr mm-hmm. article, you don't have to tell people like, oh, these are the places where we go. I don't have to say what Boys Town is. I can just mm-hmm. say Boys Town and people got it.
Mm-hmm. If you go to Grindr's offices in mm-hmm. West Hollywood, is there like a server farm full of people approving photos of there's underwear there, sorry, disapproved.
I see dick outline.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's not like me hiding. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I've been so much on the editorial side of this, like, what do we want to build, that I'm excited to understand the backing. Like, it's, I feel like I'm going into the Wizard of Oz and I'm getting to pull behind the curtain mm-hmm. to see how this all works.
I think the first time you came on the podcast, we had you on because we were interested in you because you wrote an article about top privilege. Is that, that's the first
the
time you came on?
Chipotle.
I did. Oh my God. That's so
your name. And every time I go to Chipotle, I think of you, Zach.
So many people still say that to me.
Every this day. And I have a Chipotle for lunch about two or three times a week.
Yeah,
I'm eating a burrito and I'm thinking Zach Stafford.
You don't know how to this day some very like big people in LGBT media. I remember Michelangelo Signorelli said to me the first time when he was having me on his show on XM Radio, he said, by the way, every time me and my friends go to Chipotle, we talk about you mm-hmm. because of that article. And that was the first time I came on here. Mm-hmm. And I think it did talk about Grindr, but this idea that, like, I mean, for those of you who haven't read Top Privilege from 2011, is that there was this, I was...
Has it been that long?
It's been that...
No.
Yeah, it's been...
You've been on this podcast?
Yeah.
Six years?
Yeah, I've been doing this podcast for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for a while.
You were a baby back then.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I think this was my first podcast that I did. But, I mean, the article is about, like, mm-hmm. there's a privilege in topping because you don't have to worry about, like, the messiness of bottoming. But at the heart of the article...
It was a Chipotle burrito.
Chipotle was the metaphor. Like, that was the top.
Because a top can go and have a burrito earlier in the day, but, like, you know, a bottom might be like, you have to watch what you eat.
You can't do it. Yeah. And the core of that wasn't only about nutrition, mm-hmm. but it was about... zero adaptive behaviors, which means how we negotiate the types of behaviors we want to do in bed with someone in relation to our HIV risk. So tops have a lower risk of mm-hmm. HIV acquisition. So the article was getting at, is there an inherent privilege of topping, only being the insertive partner? And mm-hmm. like, what do you not have to worry about? So it's Chipotle, HIV risk goes down. So that was the end of the article, but everyone took away from it, not the zero adaptive behaviors, which
I don't even remember that at all.
No one remembers that. It's all like, it began with something like, you know, everyone knows that if you eat Chipotle, you can't bottom today. And like, and that was the first line, and everyone, and that was my Twitter blew up. People were like, that's not true, or I can. And I was like,
I eat Chipotle all the time, and I bottom all the time.
You have to space it out. Yeah. Like, you could have it in the afternoon and have sex, but, like, if you have it in the morning, maybe, or whatever.
Know yourself.
Know your intestinal tract, you know?
Did Chipotle send you coupons for...
They have never wanted to do any brand collaboration since then.
Why?
And also, too, I feel like that whole E. coli breakout mm-hmm. was around that same time, right?
Yes. So they've had a lot of shitty news. So, but no, that's, I mean...
Well, the reason I'm bringing up the whole idea of you sort of accessing Grindr's secret headquarters is because as a journalist, you've used Grindr as a journalism mm-hmm. tool to speak to people about a topic or people who are in danger situations. Mm-hmm. And right now you're sort of talking about Grindr as a media entity within to access men in Chechnya.
Yeah, so that's like an idea that we're exploring is sourcing articles. So as a journalist, I'm really obsessed with who are the right sources for stories, who should you be talking to, and who kind of are the gatekeepers to communities so you can kind of uplift stories. And with Grindr, the obvious thing that's going to happen or that could happen is that we have direct access to 3 million users around the world. And Grindr's already been engaging with users in these micro ways for the past few decades through their Grindr for Equality campaign. So they've been doing bursts of whether it's at CPAC, the Republican convention, Grindr worked with HRC to do these like blasts that say like the convention area that said like, you're getting on Grindr, but by the way, Republicans don't like gays. So mm-hmm. it was like this like thing that only blasted that area. So they were engaging with locals. There's been other ways in which in like Central American countries, we've done surveys to better understand how like anti-sodomy laws are affecting certain communities. And we're able to publish that data because it gets like one that was just published on Grindr, got 3,000 respondents. So for me as a journalist, I'm able to now, if with the Chechnya situation, if we're able to figure out the ethical and most safe way to do it, we're able to actually like helicopter digitally into certain places where people are using Grindr to connect with each other. And it's also maybe being used against them. Like in Chechnya, we know that recruitment has been through the apps, whether it's Scruff, Grindr, Tinder, they've been using it. And there's a way for us to connect with them and try to help with the reporting. And that's why I'm really interested in hiring a lot of really well-known, very like seasoned journalists who now have a new way of working with data and have a new support through data scientists, because a lot of the media entities don't have the science backing. They don't have researchers, because Grindr has a whole research lab, and the fact that we can pair our research with editorial content to relate to people's lives will be an interesting foray into like journalism, because this I can't wait till like next year, hopefully to award season, where like people are like, can Grindr win a GLAAD Media Award? Can Grindr win, be up for a Pulitzer Prize? Can these things happen? Because they are a media entity, but they also have researchers in ways that other media newsrooms never have had before.
Well, and you know, for media, a lot of places, especially like I think about something like the Chicago Reader back in the day, a good portion of their income came from these classified ads. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in these newspapers and magazines and back in the day, that's how gay people would hook up is through these ads. And so some ways it's kind of
like a return.
The media return to that. Yeah. So as you created media and then you sold these ads for people to meet up or to whatever. And now it's very much the same thing.
Yeah, you're right. I think when you hear it at first, Grindr is going into media, it's like, what? But then you do this full circle and you think, wait, news outlets have always been a way for us to connect and to meet each other, whether it's through classified ads for dating or jobs or selling a bed. And if we're able to kind of reimagine the ways in which we connect now and bring media into it, it could be an interesting little collaboration. But of course, this is all very new. She could be jobless in 2 years.
Listen, but let's talk about like how much money Grindr has too, though, because they were bought. How much of the portion of the company was bought by a Chinese corporation?
I think the same day the news came out that I was joining, the rest of the company was bought by a Chinese company.
Okay, because
hundreds of millions of dollars.
At one point in time, it was like $40 million for 60% of the company, and then they had another sale. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's probably the cumulative amount is probably $200 million.
And just for the record, it's Beijing Kulun Tech Company has a 60% stake,
and they just bought Grindr. And they just bought the rest of it yesterday, the same day as I was announced.
So they own
all of it,
100%,
100%.
And so whatever happened to Joel Simkai, who is
Joel's still CEO?
CEO. Yeah, he was the founder of the company.
Yeah, he's still there.
We met him years ago. He came to
a meet and greet.
Mickey's in West Hollywood. Yeah. Not our first one, because there was the first one we had, and then Mickey's burnt down. Then they rebuilt it, and then we got to meet Joel. Then
we
got to
be careful when we set. We're going to set this kitchen on fire. I'm cooking with drag queens. I have a new one. We're blowing the lid off the pot
and stirring things up.
Yeah. So if you need any media personalities to beef up Grindr,
you know, I
know a lot of interesting people.
What do we know about the Chinese corporation that has bought the company?
I know nothing about it. And again, this is not me being like, oh, I'm trying to prick my ass. I actually know
because it's a recent acquisition.
So just so you guys know, they're China's largest game developer. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know that it is. I did know that it was a game company, and that's where I haven't felt the need to probably investigate like I would if I heard it's like the government property.
Sure.
Where the Chinese government has a different relationship to queer people than maybe a gaming company. Because again, these gaming companies that owns Grindr now owns like what you're playing on your Xbox 2 and all these things. So I've already been getting tweets that people are saying like, oh, how is this going to affect coverage? And for me, it's not going to. I mean, most media companies are owned by people that you would never guess. So these things, editorially, these things, and legally, I know there's laws in the government that these things have to stay very separate. Mm-hmm. Like if there's any like usage of media to like flex your like stock holdings or stuff like that, that is not. That's kind of like insider trading. Mm.
Upon the news that Kunlun Tech bought Grindr, their stock went up 10%. on the day it was announced. See, you,
us queens are worth money.
No. I'm just surprised that an American investor didn't take over Grindr, or was it? Was it like what? Because it seems very random mm-hmm. in some regards.
I wonder if it's our puritanical values yeah. here. Maybe
I don't States. Know. I mean, that's something. I mean, I'm not very interested in why are the Chinese very interested?
Well,
in
Well, this was a specific yeah. company. It was yeah. not like all Chinese yeah, that's businesses true. Were like.
I can't be reductive.
Gotta
to
get
them.
Those American cocks. Yeah. You know. So.
I mean, but I think yeah. a lot of your game company, you're mm-hmm. wondering about systems in which people mm-hmm. like just kind of use it. I mean, the biggest thing on Grindr people say is like on your board. That's whatever. But that's like the most common thing.
On your what?
When people say on Grindr, like, I'm just here looking, browsing because I'm bored.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, we know that if people are on...
Bored equals horny,
yeah,
right?
Bored equals horny, yeah. Kind of like you have nothing to do. Then if I was a gaming company, if I have people that are just, like, not playing a game. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess dating is a game. But if they're just scrolling or something for that long, I mean, I'd want to know how that's happening.
Well, you know, are you guys going to be working with Andy Cohen, host of Love Connection? Because I noticed with the emojis, you now have the ability to send... A love connection.
Yeah. Which what does came this before say here? His show.
By brought to you by Fox Love Connection.
Really?
And it says it's not a love connection. Oh, so you can send somebody the emoji.
Oh,
that
yeah,
says
yeah.
You're
I'm not into you.
Not I'm into, not into yeah. you. And then it has a link to the TV show.
Yeah, I mean, that's I did not know that. The Gameoji part of the company works separately than Intu, but will work together. But that app, from my understanding, is something you can use in-app of Grindr and also put on your phone, kind of like the Joanna Scammer emojis that are coming out or the Kim Kardashian emojis that are coming out.
It's interesting
that Kim Kardashian what? Emojis yeah, for Grindr or
oh, for your phone. Okay. I wish Kardashians no. gave money to Grindr. That would yeah, be great.
I think you're hot. Yeah. No, it's interesting that a lot of the emojis seem to have been designed at DragCon. The first thing you can hit to somebody is yes. Second one is hey. The third one is a banana on a hammock, and the fourth one is let's kiki. How well are the? I guess I want you don't know the answer to that, but I imagine that those not necessarily the most used. As much fun as it is to get into. Gender nonconforming and drag culture.
Right. You with want your mask for mask, right? Yeah. Well, is that what you're saying?
I think that drag culture is very performative.
Yeah.
And when you're in an intimate, low-key situation, even if you are a gender nonconforming person and you don't mind that, the performativity mm-hmm. of that culture may not be the most appropriate. It's maybe the best way to start a conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I think... I mean, that's why that Gameoji app works really well, I think, in the phone. Because, like, you could be better. Maybe saying yes is better, like, when you're talking to your friends than mm-hmm. when someone is like, hey, do you want to hook up or go
yes!
away? Like,
yes!
Like, that's,
no!
But what's maybe. Interesting is that, like, So I was in a relationship, mm-hmm. and then I got out of it as I'm moving to L.A. And, because I'm moving to L.A. And,
Is that the only reason?
What is that we broke up? Yeah. It is the only reason.
What?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh. Import the man, baby. Where's good dick is hard to find, honey. You know what? You work for Grindr.
I'm gonna need a martini now. Anyway, no, but what happened is I redownloaded the app. Mm-hmm. And so we broke up and I had to fly there to do all these meetings and negotiate. And I downloaded the app because I needed to be able to talk about it again because I'd mm-hmm. been on it like 5 months and I heard about all these app, these mm-hmm. Gameoji integration. And within 5 minutes of being on there, a young person, probably 19, sent me a Gameoji immediately that was like a hello or something. And because before that, I didn't think anyone was using it. I was like, there's no way. It's mm-hmm. happening. But young people like Gen Zs or young millennials are like really using them and like, because that's what they grew up using. They mm-hmm. want to use Gameojis.
Because they can't read or write. And exactly. so they're like, I can send this to you.
Like if you're in a customer service yeah. job, you suddenly find the stressing mm-hmm. large mm-hmm. number of the public mm-hmm. does not know how to read or write. So you find yourself.
1 in 5.
You're basically, you know, doing reading for the blind in yeah. a sense. You yeah. know, you're like, you know, this is a Big Mac and it costs, you know, $4.95.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you have to like read the sign to mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, no. And I mean, maybe that's mm-hmm. what's happening for sure. I mean, the mm-hmm. Gameojis make it very easy mm-hmm. to say whatever mm-hmm. with a very little bit mm-hmm. Because there's also the new tap feature. Which have you used that? It's like what's the fire that? Sign.
You send it on fire.
Oh, is that how does that work? Because so I've been getting a lot of fire.
Yeah, oh, like,
so my phone's almost burning up. It's smoking.
Taps, and you can send someone like a fire symbol. or a hey. It makes it to where it's really easy.
So here's this hot guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he has abs, so we know that he's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tap on the flame, and it has flame. Purple devil or just the word high.
Yeah. And it makes it to where you can really, like, you can move through the app really quickly. I mean, as we see, like, everyone wants to really tap and say hi quick. So sometimes people weren't enjoying the, like, double tap just to say hello or whatever. So
it's a flavored version of Wolf.
I have my own Grindr hack, because if you go, like, on your keyboard shortcuts, on, like, if you have an iPhone, you go to your settings, general keyboard, and it, like, text replacement. Because nobody wants to repeat everything, like, say what you are into or hi or how are you doing.
Stop.
And
you programmed your, like, the fill
it up. So I have it filled in. So what I do is, like, with my keyboard hack is I go in, so you general, you go into general, I'll show you real quick. You go into your keyboard, and then it'll say text replacement, and then I just create new ones. And how I do it is I got my cue from the X-Files, from the TV show X-Files. Mm-hmm. You know why they call it the X-Files, right?
No.
It's because they had these unsolved cases, right? And they had so many unsolved cases that it filled up the U box on, like, the filing cabinet. So they started going to the X, because nothing starts with X.
Oh.
So everything I have, like, if I have, like, a shortcut for, like, my email address, is just X, and then I have, like, M for, like, because it's mail at Feast of Fun, and so that'll just pop up. And then also too, it's like for my intos, I have, like, XIN, and then if they want, like, more of what I'm into, then it's like X into, and then it'll text replacement of all that kind of stuff. I use it for everything. I mean, I have a short, because, like, I say Boys Town a lot, so I just have XB.
That's amazing. And I'm going to change my whole phone after this.
And it's like, keyboard shortcuts are a lifesaver.
Yeah. And it's like, I have XD for, like, people that I noticed that, like, they might be a drag queen. Like, do you do drag? I have one for, like, you know, feastoffun.com. Yeah. You know,
I have one that's really helpful. It says, if I can't see it, I don't want it.
And it's like, I have, like, where do you live? Because a lot of times you're like, am I going to hook up with this person? And, like, just XL.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
XL
usually
location.
And so you just kind of, like, know, like, where it's going or where it's going to come.
This is brilliant. You're changing my life.
And I have ones for, like, because I mentioned RuPaul's Drag Race all the time. So, and nobody wants to write that. I have one for my husband because, you know, Fausto is, it's a hard name to type. It's only 5 letters, XF, taken care of.
Thanks.
And I got to tell you, and it really cuts down on the frustration with some of that stuff, because you don't have to ask somebody how you're doing. Mm-hmm. You can just be like XH.
And now,
like,
if you are a pro user on Grindr, that is built into the app. Just saying.
And that's why it's in my hack.
Oh, it's a hack.
That's my hack.
Grindr hacks.
Well, it's actually a life hack, because there's so many. Like, I use it for everything. Like, if somebody wants to know my email address or my phone number, it's just, I don't have to write any of that stuff out.
Now, interestingly enough, I've started observing, and there have been some articles about this, that cisgendered straight women are using Grindr to find their gay male best friend.
Yeah, I've heard about that too. So that is happening. You know, personally, I'm not one that dates straight women. I don't want to become friends with someone just based on the idea of me being gay and then being straight. That doesn't feel good.
You don't want
me.
Your own fruit fly?
I don't want my fruit fly. If that's your tea, then drink your tea. But I think it's interesting, and to do a great Grindr spin, is that Grindr is now seen as an entry point into gay culture. Mm. So which makes this magazine make more sense. If straight women are going to log onto Grindr to meet people in the gay community, because of all these preconceived notions, or because they need more gay friends or whatever, I think that makes it even more important that we help use that opportunity to teach them things, because hopefully in the future this magazine will live alone. It'll be its own website. You can go on there at work and look at things and not worry about it pinging your boss. But it'll also be within the app. So it's like, if we do have these straight women that are going on there wanting to understand gay culture, to go to know where to go or where to travel, that will be part of the app in the future, in my dream future. So it's like, you know, we can't police who comes in and out of these apps. It's like, we can't police who comes in and out of these bars, or we shouldn't. But we need to figure out ways to, like, make sure that it's a safe space for everyone.
Because you really got to stop those bridal parties, those bridal showers.
A Grindr bridal party.
Could you imagine? There's like a Grindr bachelorette app. Like, it's
show me your dick.
It's called Mary, or just like a Marrier.
Well, I'm noticing that, like, apps like Snapchat and Instagram are taking the place of Grindr. Right, in the sense that, like, I've observed a lot, especially for a lot of young people, they're like, I'm whining. Can we move this conversation off of the platform down to Snapchat because they want to their dick pics not to get stored?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just respond to them as like, Snapchat is for babies. And so maybe not. To this week, and it seems like a lot of these companies are going into media.
Yeah.
Snapchat just announced James Corden. I'm sorry if I'm Corden. James Corden and Conan O'Brien are doing talk shows on the platform.
Yeah. Other than the talk shows they're already doing.
Well, there's also talks that Conan and James's shows on may be canceled or downscaled or moved off of the, like, you know, Conan's on TBS. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what channel James is on because I don't watch either. But they're moving their talk shows, which are very expensive to produce, have a lot of writers, have a huge production budget, and they're scaling them down to basically they're going to be, you know, streaming live with their cell phone. And that's why James Corden is in his car driving people around like RuPaul is because of the fact that it's much, much cheaper to do.
And also, too, when you do that, too, you don't have those television rules, right? Because it's internet. And with television, you have a ton
FCC
of rules.
Can't really.
And it's like writers union and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, we are seeing a huge move. I mean, the future is apps and tech companies working with media companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the controversy around Facebook's fake news stuff, where they're like trying to build. Facebook's literally building a newsroom, which have historically been in things like the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times. But now these apps that do produce content are like, we need journalists or people who can like produce media that's been like fact checked and sound and is high production value to be here, because that's where everyone's going for the news. So we might as well own the content that's other people are making money off of. So it's not surprising to hear about these new additions to Snapchat.
And the Chicago Tribune, all the Tribune was just bought by a very conservative news organization. And so now they own 70% of the market or something like that. So our news right now, it's gone very, very, very conservative.
Yeah.
Even though Fox News is failing, from what I understand.
Fox News is losing advertising. Like, you know, you're doing bad when you're, you know, cars.com, cash for gold, all the advertisers are pulling off, not necessarily because of the controversy, just because people aren't watching as they used to. And a lot of the public is very frustrated with the incongruencies, doublespeak of the Trump campaign. And so because Fox News, who traditionally was very critical of the establishment, now isn't critical of it, they're turning to other news entities for finances.
And what's interesting, just in the past 24 hours, is that we're seeing Sean Hannity. He's now on vacation, just like Bill O'Reilly went on vacation. So he may be on his way out. And also Fox News wrote a story last night, which was like the truest news story I've ever seen them do. It had so much integrity. And what happened is one of my colleagues, Ben Jacobs at The Guardian, was body slammed by a man running for Congress in Montana, Greg Gianforte.
He body slammed him.
Like, they were in interviews, there's audio recording, it's everywhere. Like, it was like the New York Times is like top story today.
Paul Ryan chimed in on it.
Yeah, Paul Ryan's chiming in on it. But that was me and Ben used to like report on Trump together. And
he just got into an altercation with a reporter.
He asked him a question about the new healthcare plan, and he said, I don't want to talk about it. And he did a follow up, like all journalists do. He's like, no, we need to ask you because this is my time to schedule. And he body slammed him and punched him. And other reporters saw, and everyone thought Fox News, who's in the room, was going to be like, didn't see it. They had the best reporting on it. They wrote this article that said, like, Congressman lashes out a reporter. And they said they're trying to, I think they're seeing this moment of like, oh shit, our like placating to the Trump administration isn't working. We need to like maybe do journalism.
Or maybe it's like, this is what our viewers really want. They want to see Republicans beat up on liberals.
Or that too. Like, they want to see it.
They're like,
they
we
like
need
it.
To celebrate this, like, because this is super important. Because that's our job, is to stir up violence.
Yes. So it was an interesting moment. We, everyone on the left media was like, oh my God. So every story you see about it, it says like the alleged attack, because charges have been pressed. And they say also corroborate it by Fox News, because, you know, the New York Times, The Guardian, we can be like, if you think this is fake news, your website's also saying it happens. This is actually happening now. But just how news is supposed to work. We're supposed to be all telling like the same thing, maybe from different angles, but it's the same truth.
I mean, what's the worst thing that's happened to us? And no one's physically assaulted us during the podcast in 13 years.
Well, there's people out there that spread rumors about us. In the home studio? No, nothing.
No one's like, you know, they lock themselves up in the bathroom or, you know, they pass out, but took their clothes off.
They fuck another guest in the back room.
We had actually two guests who actually, they were fighting on the show. And I was like, God, why did we book these people together? That's part of the reason.
Well, one of them just showed up, I think.
One of them crashed the taping. Mm-hmm. But anyways,
and
we had
them.
They
both got drunk.
They both got drunk. And when we were done taping, we're sort of like, Mark and I are editing the show. And I was like, where did they go? They didn't leave. And
they're in the back bedroom having sex. And then Fausto goes back there like, don't do this on my bed.
And I'm just like, you know, it was like finding two wild animals mm-hmm. having sex in your, you know.
Was there insertion?
The people yeah. Like, so well, anyway.
Let me finish the story.
I kind of watched a little bit. I'll just be honest with you.
Like, and you I was just like, popcorn. I was furious. I was like, get the fuck, go home. Do it in your own house,
or,
you know.
Or don't do it on my duvet.
Don't do it on my duvet, right? And so
we were up late.
They were up late.
And we were up late. They left.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so it's time for me to go to bed.
2-3 o'clock in the morning. Right?
Yeah.
It was late.
And I'm just like, I scream. There was a brownie trail.
It was
on my
a
bed.
Foot long brown streak on his white sheets.
That's the worst thing that happened.
Stop. Yeah. Oh my God.
And I was like, fuck me. It was 3 in the morning.
I took a picture of it.
And I texted it to him. I'm like, come on.
That's terrible.
Now in theaters is the new Baywatch movie, which takes us back to the ubiquitously syndicated 1990s. Beach Mystery Romp. They used to star Knight Rider. Dwayne Hasselhoff is now Michael Hasselhoff is now
David Hasselhoff.
Stars, David Hasselhoff.
Stars yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Zac Efron mm-hmm. saving lives in the California beach.
I gotta say, is like the Baywatch, the original series, is one of those TV shows I never actually watched an entire episode of. You know, there's some things that you just don't pay attention to. But I got invited to watch the pre-screening of it and give a little review of it. And I have to say, you know, it had some very, very funny moments. Lots and lots of dick jokes, but it's pretty much a stupid film.
Yeah.
And as you would expect, because it's very much based on Baywatch, was kind of just a stupid series, you know? And for some people that are looking for a little nostalgia, there is, you know, some cameos by David Hasselhoff, a very short one, but he doesn't necessarily come off as very likable. And then,
of
course,
I ran into him the other day.
You did? Where?
Yep, in L.A. at Zinc Cafe. And he's a tall man.
You
is
do
he
not
really?
Hassle the Hoff.
Yeah, no,
he
don't hassle the
family.
Hoff.
We were sitting next to each other, and then he was there. And then who else? That Michael Favreau from Pod Save America.
Okay.
We're all like sitting next to each other and then someone else. And I was like, this is so LA. Like,
oh, that is people. Very LA.
Oh, and then I saw, sorry to make this about
no,
me,
okay.
but I saw our favorite Congressman Aaron Schock. He sat next to me at Ciccone's.
Is that a gay place?
Yeah, that's where gays like go and have fancy lunches is next to Grindr's offices.
Oh.
And he was there with a gay. And I was like, what is
Did you snap a photo?
I wanted to so
you
bad.
Should have.
I think
that's
someone next to me did. And I was like in a meeting and he was right there. And I don't
Do
know.
Look cute?
He looked cute. And I don't know how she has the coins to sit at Ciccone's for 2 hours and eat because he doesn't have a job. So I was like, who's paying for your long lunch?
Some Republican somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway.
And Pamela Anderson does do a little cameo too. And you basically see her from the side and lots of her hair and a brief tiny moment like on her face because you're like, for whatever reason, they don't want to show her face. Well, you've all seen her, so you know.
But
you
she
guys
just
know
had
her.
That surgery.
Oh, she did?
You see, she had plastic surgery. She looks very different.
Oh.
So maybe they didn't want to like confuse people. She was in the midst of surgery.
Well, I think she's had like a lot of plastic surgery over the years,
she
right?
She was walking down the red carpet mm-hmm. of Cannes and looked mm-hmm. drastically different. Mm-hmm. And everyone didn't like drag her as much as they did. Who's the Bridget Jones Diary woman? Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger.
Remember, everyone was like, she
sure.
looks like a different person.
Right.
Like, this is sexist. Hers.
Well, Renee lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what she said. She was living a very unhealthy life. She was, I remember when she said when she needed to gain weight for Bridget Jones's Diary, that all she's like, the only thing I did different is I just ate donuts. I ate donuts all the time and I gained the weight. And so every time I eat a donut, I always think I'm Bridget Jonesing myself, you know. And so the show is, you know, they're lifeguards at a beach. And I always thought Baywatch was California, or supposed to be California, but I see in the credits that it's filmed in Georgia. And so I guess, you know, because I always forget because like Georgia is so full of racism mm-hmm. that I always forget that they also have a beach.
There's a large part of it on the Atlantic.
You know, a large part of it. So it's a very lovely beach. And so the idea is that they're lifeguards, but they're more than lifeguards. They're taking care of the whole beach, and so they have to fight this drug empire. And so a lot of it is with Dwayne The Rock Johnson trying to convince Zac Efron, who's this former Olympian who's washed up, who's a big drinker, and he's a party boy, and he's saying like, we have to fight the drug lords, and he's just like, no, we're just lifeguards. He's like, no, we're more than lifeguards. And so basically he bullies him throughout the whole movie, but he's also kind of like a mentor daddy to him and gets him into some interesting situations.
There's a lot of like dick jokes and sort of like the way straight men razz each other about their, you know, being gay or something. And, you know, in the movie poster, Zac Efron's wearing two gold medals. That's very, like, testicular kind of thing.
Yeah. Hanging. And there is one scene, too, where it's like they're looking at a, I'll give this away, I'll spoil it, where they're in the morgue examining a dead body because, you know, they're more than lifeguards. And he's, Dwayne convinces him to look at this guy's taint to figure out if he's been injected with something. And so basically you see this cock and then it's like Zac Efron's like looking and he's kind of like disgusted and he's gross, but you could kind of see he's kind of turned on a little bit too. He's kind of into it. And then The Rock just is like taking photos of it, of him. Like, and so you have a picture of like this cock and then you have Zac Efron's face. And so, and to me, it's just kind of like, is this kind of in their way some kind of coming out story? Like, is this what they're trying to do? Because, you know, The Rock went to the Oscars, stag.
Zac Efron and Dwayne Johnson are both very rumored to be closeted gay actors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So is this like a wink, wink, nod, nod? And they're they're really pushing this Baywatch movie on the gays. You saw a video with Katya and Bob the Drag Queen, basically at the Baywatch
Beach. You were like, parodying. Bob the Drag Queen, who? You can remember her name. It's been so long.
Christopher Caldwell, okay? You know, I know him as Christopher.
Yes.
Listen, I've been in his apartment. If I've been in your home, I know who you are.
Cutting up your weight.
Does it apply to Grindr?
For the most part, you know, for the most part.
So how does Zac Efron stack up to the classic 90s Baywatch hunks?
Oh, totally hotter than most of them. I mean, his body is so ripped.
So I saw the pictures and he's never looked like that before. No. He was just shredded.
He is on super point. Muscular. Yeah. His body fat is super low. The Rock is just this big guy. He's, you know, and he's, you know, when you get to a certain age, you don't have to worry about your body fat as much, you know. Yeah. And he's just mammoth compared to little Zac Efron.
Who would you guys like to have sex with more, Zac Efron or Dwayne Johnson?
Gosh, that's so hard because, like, I really love Dwayne Johnson's personality. Yeah. He's so fun.
I think he's physically very attractive. They're both
physically very attractive.
Zac Efron just too tiny. You have to choose one.
Mm-hmm. I would do Dwayne. Dwayne's bigger.
I think if you're if you want to be cuddled by Dwayne Johnson, I think you're a much nicer person than if you want to like be topped by angry Zac Efron.
And I've heard rumors in Hollywood that he's a bottom. So
Zac.
So like, if you gotta like take, you gotta be able to wrap that around.
And so I think that there's something about it, and I kept looking for kind of clues. I'm like, are they fucking? Like, what's going on? Anyway, they sent me a package too, though, to promote it too. And so I got a love letter from. I got some all sorts of Baywatch material. I got goggles. I got shirts. Ooh, I got a Baywatch
Pamela
shirt.
Anderson shirt. I love that.
And I got the Zac Efron. Two testicles. Look at that.
That is totally very testicular. That.
Yeah, that's very testicular.
That is Zac Efron's chest.
Yeah. And I noticed that on like some Instagram posts from like the, we have a friend who's an Instagram hunk and Insta stud fitness one, and he's kind of fallen a little out of shape. But what he's done is he's taken photos recently where he's wearing a t-shirt that has muscles. So it's making you think that he has muscles now. I got spiral tube, like an inner tube I can float around in.
He still looks good. He's just he's bulking right now.
Is that what it is?
That's why I got some people.
Baywatch stuff.
They're like, you don't look like your photos. I'm like, it's because I'm bulking.
And what is this? Oh my god!
A bottle of booze?
I got a bottle of booze. Vodka.
What kind of flavor
is it? It's gay. It's gay because look, it has a rainbow on it and it has lesbians.
You sound like Chloe Savini, sponsored by Baywatch movie and Smirnoff vodka.
It is like that. You know?
Let me see the bottle.
Look, it's not just gay, it's lesbian vodka.
Yeah, or it just has photos of lesbians on it.
They look like women. They might be bisexual. I don't mean to say that they're lesbian. What?
It has women, three couples of women, clearly identifiable as women, presenting as women, and it has no flavor. It just says love wins. Aww. And it's gluten-free, so you know it's for the lesbians. Look, it says gluten-free on the back of it.
Which is amazing because it's made out of, well, I actually think it's probably made out of rice.
A potato, as Bette Midler said in Desperate.
I love the people.
Well, vodka's often
this
made
is the first
grain,
time I've though. Seen a big brand do a queer LGBT thing and not put any men on it. Because these are all there's like a black couple.
Well, alcoholism is a big thing among lesbians. So
really,
yeah. Huh? Oh yeah.
Nothing LGBT makes me want to drink than a big bottle of lesbians on a thing of vodka.
So if you want some funny dick jokes, see the movie. But remember, it's Baywatch. No. So don't expect a lot. It's kind of vapid. Now, a couple weeks ago, we reported on a gentleman who his girlfriend died while they were having sex, and I guess she was choked to death, and he wanted to show the jury his penis because he says, my dick is so big, she choked on it while we were having oral sex. And people were like,
well, he was insisting to put his dick into evidence? Public record.
Yes. Yes, he wanted to show his dick stunt to queen. The jury. That is a stunt queen. And so anyway, I guess he did not show his dick to the jury, but they did find him not guilty of murder.
Oh.
And that, so he...
Through cock.
Yeah, through cock asphyxiation.
By the tool, was, like if you're playing Clue, he choked her with his big dick.
So there was no malintent.
There was no. So they couldn't. They didn't
Professor
find
Plum is free.
Oh my god! Thank God he's well endowed.
Now in South Africa, there was a guy who got his penis removed 17 years ago because he had a botched circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually got a new penis. And he's a black guy, and he got a white guy's dick.
A white man's dick. And he got a bank loan, too.
Are there photos of this?
There's not that I've seen yet. But what they're going to do, so because, like, of course, you know, the guy's, you know, he's a black guy, and the dick is white because it's the skin and everything, right? And so what they're going to do is they're going to tattoo his dick to match his skin color. And they talked, one newspaper talked to a tattoo artist and say, like, how would you do this? And she said, well, basically, I would probably do it in parts because, you know, you wouldn't want to tattoo the whole thing all at once. So I'd probably just like do one part and I would do it in threes because you need it. Time to heal for things, but
is it already on his body?
It is
already a tattoo on his
body. So he's not gotten tattooed yet. Okay. So right now he's a black guy
walking around with a white dick. Working?
So the dick, they say it takes a little while for the function to start, but they say within 6 months he'll be like fully. He'll urinate out of it. He'll have erections, and eventually he'll have sensation in that penis.
Oh my god!
So he'll be able to have sex again.
This is why you should be an organ donor, so your dick can have a second life.
And they actually said that's part of the reason. There's more people out there waiting for dick transplants, but they haven't been able to do it because there's just not enough donors out there.
Oh my god.
So you can imagine, like, in a future where we have the technology to do dick transplants really well, and we also have the ability to grow massive dongs, you're gonna live in a sort of the wealthiest people in the world will have the biggest dicks.
Well, what they also do too is when you look at your penis, what it actually appears on it, they can actually take all the cells out of it, and so what you're left with is like this collagen tree, right? And so if they
the scaffolding,
and so what they're thinking is like maybe if you get enough scaffolding, you could probably get like scaffolding from two or three corpses and just have this super, like, if you're able to grow the cells on there.
So because
you
would take somebody else's cells, will be like the movie Elysium, right, where they're growing big dongs out in space.
Oh my god.
And basically, it's like a recreation of Grindr, the way it is. It's a haves and a have nots.
Well, you know, medical is a lot of money in medicine, so maybe new investments.
Well, good luck with Grindr.
Thank you.
And this media enterprise into.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Into.
What are you into?
We're very excited for you. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
You've come a long way, baby.
I've come from top privilege to.
Sponsored by Chipotle.
Maybe I can get them as my first sponsor of the magazine.
Chipotle. That would be a coup.
It would be a coup.
Remember me.
Remember. Hey, girls.
Sponsored by Chipotle.
Well, anytime you come back to Chicago, you're always welcome back on the podcast.
Do it on the phone. I want to know.
Do it on the phone.
I want to know more about this project because I think it's going to. You guys have like A-list celebrities lined up for the first five covers, right?
There's people. They're going to be. I'm talking to people. I think there would be some really interesting kind of cover models for the mag. But that probably won't happen until more closer to the fall because we're currently in redesign. I have to make the website of my dreams and your dreams.
So you're going
to
get Tatiana from All Stars. You're going to get Mateo Lane. And
maybe, I don't know. Maybe I get some like A-list. Maybe I get Solange Knowles to do drag.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. Or Frank Ocean.
Or maybe you could
Me?
Be.
I could do it.
Move over, Janet Mock. There's a new girl in town.
Oh my god, I'm gonna tell her that next time I see her.
Well, because we were having problems reaching out to Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, mm-hmm. and we're like, just dress up and pretend you're Janet Mock.
Yeah,
and you're
like, that could work.
Because you look like you could be her brother.
Yeah, we look bad. That's great. She's
you have the same wholesome smile.
Is that Hawaiian?
Is that sweetness?
I'm not Hawaiian at all.
No.
Yeah.
It's you know, you're a devil in the sheets, but an angel in the streets.
Oh my god. Well, I will miss you guys, seeing you as much as I do. Aww. But I'll be back.
You'll be back.
I think I'm back literally 2 weeks after I go. I'm back for something.
Oh, we could do a live podcast at Grindr's headquarters. That would be a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah.
I would read about that. We have there's a big event space, and it looks over all of West Hollywood.
It's like really?
The
top.
Yeah. They have this beautiful headquarters right in the middle of West Hollywood in the Pacific Design Center. And it has 360 views of all of LA.
Oh my god.
So it's amazing.
It's basically like Apple's new headquarters, mm-hmm. but instead of a shape of a ring, it's
I don't even want to know where you're going. I have to go.
Okay.
Bye, Zach.
Bye, Zach.
Bye.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.